This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Let's welcome to the program Carl Tender, president of the Albemarle County Farm Bureau, and Tom Loach, a member of the Albemarle County Planning Commission. They join us live in studio for a discussion about land use in Albemarle County. It's a topic that has come up among the Board of Supervisors, and they're taking a look at the policy, and some folks out there really like it, and some folks say it's time to put this puppy to bed. And so we brought in a couple of folks to help not only educate us about what land use is, but sort of give us their perspective on it as well. Carl Tender, president of the Albemarle County Farm Bureau, thank you for coming in. I appreciate it. Appreciate
Thanks
you being here.
Me.
Give us a little Carl Tender 101. Just tell us where you're from and a little bit about your background and how you ended up working with the Farm Bureau.
Well, I grew up in Albemarle County. Grew up in the Crozet Miller School area. Went to Virginia Tech. Graduated there in 1995. Came back to Albemarle County. Took employment with the Chisholm family with Adventure Farm in Earliesville, Virginia. And I've been there for over 13 years where we farm. And my wife and I also farm on the side. And so we farm pretty much about 3,000 acres throughout Albemarle County.
My goodness. And when you say we farm, what is it you do so we can sort of... I'm wondering when your day starts, Carl.
Some days never end. We've run beef cows, cut quite a bit of hay. We've got some goats, some grapes, and whatever else we can do to try to turn a profit. Just planted some soybeans, so we're trying to diversify a little bit.
Yeah. Now, Carl, for somebody who just moved here from like Michigan or from California and isn't really familiar with farming in Virginia, is beef cattle? I know once upon a time, growing apples was the big thing here in Central Virginia. The Albemarle Pippin mm-hmm. was a famous apple variety, just like you'd see Red Delicious today in grocery stores back then. Turn of the 20th century, the Albemarle Pippin was the apple to get, and it was grown right here in Virginia in Albemarle County. A lot of fruit growing, but you talked about cattle, raising cattle. Is that the big thing today? Just beef cattle?
Well, grass definitely grows well here in the area. We've got a lot of rolling slopes, so grass is the best suit for a lot of those areas. And to harvest that grass, cattle and forage, and the grazing on that grass is the best way to market that.
So it makes sense to have beef cattle here, or I know down in Rockbridge County there's a lot of sheep. You'll see that out in western parts of Virginia.
There's some sheep, and we've got niches here through the county where you can grow some crops, do some row cropping and things of that nature.
Like
area.
Corn? Or
you get some corn and some soybeans in. You've got niche areas where you got very good vineyard sites going in. You got a lot of some apples and some peaches going in different areas. And so Albemarle agriculture is still alive in Albemarle County. It definitely has changed over the last 50 years, but it's definitely alive and well. And with the right management, it can prosper in Albemarle County. It needs to. It needs to be a part of every community, and we need to pay attention of the value agriculture has.
I was with the Commissioner of Agriculture and Consumer Services here a few weeks ago, Virginia, and he was telling me that agriculture is the biggest part of the Virginian economy, and I didn't know that.
It's the number one industry. Agriculture and forestry is the number one industry in the state of Virginia.
People don't know that. That is amazing.
There's not even a close number two, okay?
That is truly amazing.
The economic impact these farms in this county have on the local economy, tremendous, and we can't disvalue that.
Carl Tender is president of the Albemarle County Farm Bureau. Tom Loach is also with us, a member of the Albemarle County Planning Commission. Tom, give us your Tom Loach 101.
Thank you. I'm a resident of Crozet. I've been there for about 20-plus years now, getting on 20 years. And as you said, I'm a member of the Planning Commission, but let me make it very clear that I'm not speaking for the commission or as a commission, but speaking as a private citizen in this vein. So I'm just retired from the University of Virginia after working in their information systems department for a good number of years and a couple of years at the hospital as well. And now I'm doing private consulting work, and being a planning commission.
And you have a long history as sort of an active citizen involved with planning issues, right? Back with the whole, you were involved in DISC.
Right. I was a member of the original DISC committee, member of the Neighborhood Model Committee. I was president of Crozet Community Association and on a number of other committees over the years that dealt with issues of land use and development.
So we're talking about land use, and we'll open up the phone lines here shortly, folks. But Carl, let's start with you. Tell us, and we'll ask this question to both of you. When I say land use in Albemarle County, what is that exactly? Explain it to us from your perspective.
In 1975, this county adopted, with state enabling legislation, the ability to tax rural properties of farmland at a lesser value called land use assessment than fair market value assessment. They recognized in 1975 that rural landowners cannot maintain the course of fair market value taxation rising, so they needed to be able to cap those taxes at a certain level so you could stay on the property. So when we say land use taxation, it is land that's valued at has been identified with a lesser value than, say, the fair market value, but the landowner is still taxed at fair market value on his home and 2 acres, every building and improvement on that property. It is the land that encompasses that farm that is put on the land use value based on what it produces, not what it's worth on a fair market value system.
And that's so that somebody who's farming the land wouldn't be taxed for what the land might be worth as a potential shopping center or neighborhood. They're taxed on it, recognizing sort of that this is a business and you need to tax them as a farm.
Well, I think so. But I think over time it's been more recognized of which the only thing that local governments have to tax is property, personal property. But we're trying to need to identify what requires the services that our tax dollars go for. The open space and the farmland not requiring nearly the services that the house and the 2 acres are, or the house in town in Crozet and the growth area is requiring. So it defers that tax burden from those properties to the homes that are requiring the services.
Interesting. Carl Tender with the County Farm Bureau. Tom Loach, a member of the Albemarle County Planning Commission. Tom, same question. When I say what is land use to you, land use in Albemarle County, give us your perspective on it.
Well, I think Carl defined it fairly well. The problem is does the program deliver what it promises? And therein lies the question. And I think that the data is beginning to show that it really hasn't. And you start to wonder whether the discussion is about rural preservation or development rights in the rural area. In other words, are we protecting the rural area, or are we protecting the right to develop in the rural area? And the more that you're around the issue of land use, the more I become convinced that it's the latter. And what we're talking about in defending it is not to protect the rural area, but to protect those development rights that still exist in that land. And just a couple of little facts. This is an $18.8 million program this year.
And what does that mean when you say, is this money we're spending on this program?
This is money that doesn't come in to the county in terms of tax revenue. It actually represents a $2.6 billion loss in tax assessment to the county. And who pays for it? Well, that's easy. Bob Tucker, the county executive, said this: the cost of land use is not a hidden fact, since it is implicit in the concept of land use taxation that the tax burden is shifted to other taxpayers. So if you don't get a tax break, you are paying for a tax break. So that's who's paying for land use.
And if I heard Carl right, you said that tax burden was shifted from the folks farming land who didn't need those growth area services over to the folks in the growth area who do require those services.
That's right. You look at your cost centers. What's requiring services in the counties are the people and the homes, not the pastures and not the cows. So they recognized this thing in 1975, and I think in 2001 it said it cost the county $7 million. So obviously as fair market value assessments go up, it's costing us more to defer these tax dollars. But if in 1975 we saw the value of it and that this trend couldn't continue, here in 2008 at a $19 million figure, don't we need it now more than ever? We need it now more than we did then.
Tom?
And so,
yeah.
Well, I think the answer to that was summed up in the Daily Progress editorial, and it's one that I think came up with the solution, is that if you want to get the land use taxation, you put your land in conservation easement. If you don't want it, then you pay the fair value tax that's on those development rights. And that way, the public who's paying for this knows what they're getting. They're getting rural protection. This doesn't stop the farmer from taking whatever number of development rights they want and saving those development rights for them, whether it's for their retirement, whether it's for their business operation, but they would be taxed on those and not the public.
Now, Tom, I can be really slow sometime and dense. So if I hear you right, you're proposing that we do away with land use and approach this goal of preserving rural land in a different way, with like a different tool other than land use.
No, it's land use, but with the caveat that in order to get the land use tax break, your land is not a development waiting to happen. It is a rural preservation tract in either conservation easement. Now, there's also another program that the county has, which is the acquisition of conservation easement, or the ACE program. This has also been invaluable, too.
And that's where the county buys, like, development rights of a farm so that you can keep farming there, but you can't sell that land to, like, it won't become a neighborhood or...
You would sell the development rights off of it, and those development rights would be permanently retired, and therefore you get a market value for those development rights today, and you can use that. We have a producer in North Garden, Virginia, who did that. It was an estate settlement. He needed cash to buy out two other heirs, and they used the ACE program to do that. And that worked for them. It was a voluntary program. In certain cases, it works well. Other producers have looked at the program and have found that it's underfunded and too restrictive for their estate purposes or even their future uses of the land. It's tying the hands of the landowner more so than helping them, and they don't want to do that for future generations, for things, unforeseen circumstances that come
up. Right. Carl, what's your response to Tom's point, and I've heard it from other people as well, that land use is just something people use until it becomes, and we've actually seen this happen, people have land in land use, and then all of a sudden, next thing you know, it's out of land use, and it's a shopping center, or it's Biscuit Run.
Well,
and that's a concern I'm sure you hear from people, too.
Well,
the system is abused by developers.
It's a free market system we're in. With the right to own property, you have the right to sell it as well. And so I don't want to take away that right that we have, because that's the basic thing that we have, is the right to own property. What the misconception out there is that it is a tax-free system up to the point that you sell. There is a tax, a back tax that you have to pay if that property changes use. If the property does not change use, one farmer sells to another farmer, then there's no back tax on it. But if it is sold for development, there is a 5-year back tax on it, plus the current year, which is a 6-year back tax, plus a 10% simple interest penalty. And so the argument that I hear toward that is that we're subsidizing these land developers or people waiting for development. Well, they go back 6 years. That's a substantial penalty. In the short term, though, the county and residents have gotten exactly what we wanted, which is the green and open space that was there before this development has happened. Obviously, we have lost some nice farms in the Albemarle County to development. That's just a product of free enterprise.
Carl Tender is president of the Albemarle County Farm Bureau. Tom Loach is with the Albemarle County Planning Commission. Tom, what's your response to that? It's a free market, and this system sort of, it works, and the developers, they get a significant penalty if they want to take something out of land use.
It's not the developer who pays it, it's the seller who pays it.
Well, it's actually the person who changes the use of the land who pays. Carl didn't really tell you the whole truth here, because take Biscuit Run. When Biscuit Run was sold, the person who sold it did not pay the back taxes. The person who paid the back taxes was the person who changed the use of the land, which was the developer. So
no, the deferment's in the previous owner's name. So if obviously in a contractual selling, you contract to obligate the buyer to pay for it, then
when the owner goes down, whoever Craig went down and changed the zoning on the land, he then obligated himself to pay for the back taxes. So what you have is, A, the loss of the money that went into this from 1975 up until when it was 2002 or 3, right? Plus, the new people who are coming on and who are buying these homes, I mean, naturally, the developer is incorporating that cost into what it's going to take him to sell his homes. So essentially, they're paying a surcharge for that land as well. But Carl also said one thing that was true, that the county got just what they wanted. But what they got was a temporary reprieve from development. And I think what we're looking for is a permanent reprieve from development. And that's what we should be putting our money into. If you look at the difference between the ACE program and between land use has not protected 1 acre of land from development. whereas Ace, since 2000, has protected over 5,000, almost 6,000 acres of land. Land use has cost us $146 million in tax subsidies. We got a $6,000 acre protection for $9 million for Ace. So if you're the taxpayer who's paying for this one and rural protection is what you're after, which one is the best investment for the taxpayer's dollar?
It's an investment they don't have to pay for.
Then you go on and you say, after you know, for that, you know, it's just a matter of course. Which is the best investment? Do you want to rent land under land use, or do you want to buy land and buy permanent protection under the ACE program?
And Carl?
What you're imposing or you're suggesting is that what I've heard is that you want to take the full get rid of the land use program, take those $19 million and put them in a pot and allocate them toward the ACE program, and therefore a government body can therefore divide out that $19 million pie however they see fit to preserve whatever development rights or farms that they see fit, where
that's
probably 85-90% of the rural residents would never fit in that program. And you think that $19 million would actually buy and save rural Albemarle County?
Well, I mean,
because we have statistics that say that if we lose land use value, we're going to see significant changes in the rural areas. I've got 84% of people surveyed in a survey that we did with Farm Bureau that say they would have to sell all or part of their properties if the land use taxation was changed or taken away.
Tom, respond to that, and then we'll break for local news. Sure. And when we get back, we'll open up the phone lines.
Well, the first response, and I guess the most telling response, is when he says about selling land use, you know, selling land because we changed in land use. You have to realize, I looked at the PEC's data, and they showed since 1988 up until 2007, that they averaged 211 lots established in the rural area each year for an average loss of 3,000 acres, or for a total loss of 75,000 acres. Under any objective criteria, land use has not met its goal, and that's what the supervisors were charged with under the comprehensive plan to evaluate. The last meeting, they didn't evaluate whether the program delivers or not. All they talked about was whether we can have evaluation of it, but they never talked about does it meet what its criteria, what it's supposed to do.
We're talking with Tom Loach, a member of the Albemarle County Planning Commission, and Carl Tender, president of the Albemarle County Farm Bureau. A break here for a few minutes, local news and weather. We'll open up the phone lines at 977-1070 for your calls, comments, and questions about land use in Albemarle County. You're listening to Charlottesville Right Now. We're talking land use, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. We're chatting with Carl Tender, president of the Albemarle County Farm Bureau, and an Albemarle County native and a farmer, and Tom Loach, a member of the Albemarle County Planning Commission. And we want to remind folks again that, Tom, you're here not speaking for the Planning Commission, and Carl, you're not necessarily speaking for the Farm Bureau.
I am.
You are? Okay, good enough. I didn't want to say that you were. Before we go to the phone calls, we've got a couple of folks waiting very patiently, and we'll be right with them. Carl, let me ask you, we were talking during the break, and you mentioned option two, and I'm ignorant. I don't even know what that is. What is, when we say option two in regards to land use, what is that?
You know what's funny? Neither did the Board of Supervisors. They had to have it explained to them two or three times, and after the end, they still didn't know what it was, but they said, let's take it on for further discussion. What option two is, was one of six options presented to the board how to change and modify land use taxation in the county. Option two, they saw, is the only viable option out of the six. So option number two is this. You've got four classifications of land use right now: agricultural, forestal, horticultural, or open space. They want to eliminate three of the four. The only designation of open space, okay? What that would do is essentially increase agricultural land 1,500%, the value of it. Right now, agricultural land is valued at about $100 an acre. Forestry land is about $400 an acre. Horticultural is about $130. Open space is valued at $1,500 an acre, okay? So you're looking at about a 1,500% increase on agricultural land. Plus, they've got several requirements that you'd have to fit into to even qualify for land use. First, you'd have to be within an agricultural and forestal district to qualify for this land use deferment. Currently, There are 300,000 acres enrolled in land use taxation. Only 66,000 of those are within an agricultural and forestal district.
So the vast majority aren't.
So you lose 244,000 acres off the bat. Of course, they say you can apply and enroll to join an agricultural and forestal district, but that's just one more hoop you're going to have to do to comply to this program. Secondly, you would have to put your land on a permanent conservation easement held by a third party, or sign a temporary easement of 4 to 10 years, whatever period decided by the county, to qualify for land use. They're thinking of taking land use and holding it over your head with a big stick and forcing you to comply to what Tom Loach is suggesting, permanent conservation easements, temporary conservation easements, to qualify for land use taxation.
Carl Tender from the Farm Bureau. And Tom, I guess you've read all those options as well. And again, this isn't necessarily something they're voting on tomorrow, but this is a conversation that the county is having as we speak.
That's the option that's on the table for discussion.
Right. Okay. And I agree with Carl. There was a lot of confusion. And that's why the rural area plan calls for a committee to be formed to look into the land use taxation situation. And that's what we should be doing. We should be putting together a committee. And we can put together a broad-based committee of people from both rural and growth area and come up with a plan that's going to best preserve the rural character of the community. I would like to go back to a couple other things, though.
Yeah, real quick, and then we'll go to the phones.
One on the tax rate. The county tax assessor, we talked with him, is that land use, if we didn't have it, we could lower the tax rate by 10 cents from 71 cents back down to 61 cents. I would also point out that in a year when the budget was cut back in the county because of lower assessments, where we cut back on policemen, we cut back on firemen, we were talking about charging for school bus, that land use went from 17.7 to 18.8 million, a $1.8 million increase in tax subsidies. And yet it's not included in the budget talks because it's not seen in the budget. If you go out to Albemarle County budget, you will not see land use as part of the county budget. So I think it needs a bigger, broader discussion, and it has to be a committee.
We're talking with Tom Loach and Carl Tender about land use in Albemarle County, and we invite you to join the conversation at 977-1070. Let's go to the phones. Corky has been waiting. Corky, you get a patient award. You've been so patient, and I tell you, I really appreciate it. You are on the air. You go right ahead.
Thanks a lot. I have a question for Mr. Loach. You call this land use tax a cost to the county. Actually, it's based on an assessment, just as your house is, just as my house is, and just as someone else's house is. And probably all three of those houses are assessed at a different value, and therefore we pay a different amount. If I pay less on my house than you do on yours, both of us are paying at the same rate, would you call that a cost? I don't see this land use as a cost to the county any more than it's a cost that the supervisors didn't raise the tax rate to 75 cents. When we talk about land as a county resource, it makes it sound as if it's public property, but for the kind of farmers I think most people seem to want here, it's very often their only equity, or substantially their only equity. I wonder how many people would like to tie their equity in stocks or whatever it is up for 10 years or 4 years or indefinitely, and how many of them would be happy with that sort of thing.
Corky, thank you so much for the call. Let's give Tom a chance to respond. I appreciate the call, Corky.
Well, again, let's go back. You're paying at a reduced assessment for your land as opposed to the 2 acres of land, which you had, as you said, at full value. But let's go back to who pays. I mean, the county is very clear that this program cost $18.8 million. Also, what most people don't know is there's another $2.5 million cost added on because of land use, because of the revenue sharing agreement with the city of Charlottesville is based on the full value assessment of the land, not the land use assessment in the county. So it actually costs another $2.5 million in added cost for land use. This is not an inexpensive program. And we know who's paying. We have one segment of the population subsidizing another segment of the population. I have no problem with subsidizing farms. I do have a problem with subsidizing someone's individual investment in land when that land has development rights on it. This has become a discussion not on how we're going to preserve the rural area. it's become a discussion on the best way to develop the rural area. I would point out to Carl, too, is that the Farm Bureau has opposed almost virtually every measure that came before the county to protect rural areas, including phasing, the Mountain Overlay District. They've been in opposition, not because these measures probably would not have been effective in preserving the rural area, but because their effect on the development rights. Again, we have to get back to a discussion on how to best preserve the county and not the discussion on how to best preserve development rights.
Well, you're looking at how to best preserve the county. Well, on an individual basis, we need to talk about how to best preserve the farms. And sometimes we have to face hard realities that it's necessary to sell a piece of that farm to save the whole. And by tying the hands of the landowners to force do nothing but to sell the whole entity as one is the wrong way to do it. And so we want the flexibility as private property owners. We want to protect the right to own that property and to do with it what we want. And to have further government regulations and burden put on those owners to have a tax deferment program or to take advantage of this tax deferment program. And you keep saying the rural area or the urban areas, growth areas, however you want to call them, are subsidizing farmers. Well, based on the American Farmland Trust, they did a survey. This is not an issue going on here in Albemarle County. This is an issue going on nationwide. It's coming to a town near you. If you haven't had this as an issue, well, it's coming sooner or later. And so they've started doing statistics and studies. They say for every dollar of tax that the rural areas bring in, it requires about 21 cents in services for every dollar that piece of farmland does. You know, the house still requires the services. But in the growth areas, for every dollar of tax that it generates, that it brings in, it requires but $1.30 in services. So with that statistic, how can you say that the growth areas are subsidizing the rural areas?
Carl Tender with the Farm Bureau, Tom Loach with the Planning Commission. Let's go back to the phones. Linda's on line two, waiting very patiently. Linda, you're on with Carl and Tom. You go right ahead.
Thanks. Thanks very much. I just want to throw out a couple of other facts that I've found when I've been looking at this issue. There's an outfit up in Cambridge, Massachusetts called the Lincoln Institute of Land Policy. They are like the leading resource in the country when it comes to key issues concerning use, regulation, and taxation of land, okay? And I have been on their site extensively, read all their papers, and what they basically come down to in land use is they say land use in the face of development pressure is a waste of time and money, okay? Back in 1975, when land use started in this county, there was no development pressure, and it made sense to do it then. The minute the Board of Supervisors said, oh, we're going to start channeling all the growth to the growth areas, that was the tipping point when land use no longer made sense in this county because the developers knew what they could do. They knew how to game the system, and landowners knew how to game the system. There's a situation here that I like to point out. It's 226 acres over on the east side of the county. Guy moved here in 1998, bought up those acres over a period of 3 years, has $1.5 million in them, okay? They're now worth, fair market value, $4.5 million. He pays taxes based on $189,000. He's saving over $30,000 just this year alone on taxes. And he's already subdivided the property into 21-acre parcels, filed for a subdivision and a road easement. So he's positioned himself, obviously, to sell, okay, but yet he's still getting a $30,000 tax savings this year, and that would certainly buy a policeman, if not part of a policeman, okay?
Linda, appreciate the call. Did you have one to throw out a question for any of the guests?
Yeah, what I want to know is, and I'll ask Carl this, when you talk about flexibility for farmers, what that says to me is y'all want land use, and then you want to do what you want to do with no strings attached when you've been given a tax break that the rest of us are paying for. 97% of the population in the county pays for 3% of the county's population to have this land use. And I'm all for farming. But, you know, in a democracy, when you get to 97% paying for 3%, there's something wrong.
Let's give Carl a chance to answer that. Carl?
My response to that is, what do you think your tax dollars should be going toward? Should they go into the services that we all share and provide and need, or should we all just chip in an equal rate and we just all divide it up? I think it should be divided out based on the services that we all share and need, and therefore everybody pays on the same rate. Just because you own a piece of property that requires no services doesn't mean you should overpay and subsidize the areas that need more services. Linda, you have an area called Growth Areas Demanding Services. Just by your name alone, if you're demanding the services, then why aren't you willing to pay for them? Secondly thing is that for the 21 acres, for the 21 cents that we require in service that we require, we are getting no county services in the rural areas. Who's coming out to fix my well when my well goes bad? Who's coming out to fix my septic tank? You have county authorities to come do that for you.
And Tom, respond, and then we'll get another call in.
Yeah.
And Linda, thank you for the call.
Let me just explain to you that those of us in the growth area pay for our water and sewer. It's not free. And by the way, our cost of our water just went up 55% in the last 2 years, and we're looking at $142 million in water and sewerage improvements, which is going to increase our rates ever more. So to say that we don't pay or this is free is one in error. I would like to go back to the other question about this is not me saying that I think that we subsidize the rural area. This is the county executive in his report on land use saying that the taxpayers are subsidizing the rural areas. As far as county services, I would point out that all of us get fire service and fire police and schools are probably the big things that go across the board between rural and growth area. But if you take those services and if you took them on a per household basis, all of these services are heavily fuel dependent. And at $4 a gallon, it is probably, on the average, more expensive to service the average rural home than it is the growth area home, only because the growth area areas are densely populated and the services can be delivered more effectively. But it's not right to say that, you know, that there's some disparity, you know, as far as services.
Let's go back to the phone. Steve's been waiting patiently on the phone. Steve, you go right ahead.
Thank you very much. Seems to me the bottom line is not, you know, nobody wants to keep the rural area more rural than the farmers do. If they change the revenue sharing agreement with the city, that would probably kick off a lot less people. And I don't know that the last point he made, only services we get from fire and rescue or first responders would be volunteers. And that's all I have to say.
Steve, I appreciate the call. Let's go to James in Keswick. James, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Coy. I have two questions for Mr. Loach. A little background. My land is currently in land use for forestry. I'm under a stewardship plan approved by the Department of Forestry. I'm a member of the Tree Growers Association. My questions are this. If I were to put my land in a permanent easement, what is my guarantee that a future board won't change the rules as this board is trying to do now? And secondly, I live in the Southwest Mountains, and because of slope restrictions, the development potential is greatly reduced on my property. I live on a 5-mile gravel road, very unimproved, and my question is why can't I continue to farm hardwood timber under the current rules?
All righty, Tom.
Yeah, I think
James, thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
With regard to the supervisors, I think you have to look at the comprehensive plan, and I think that's the guideline you have to use. And the guideline is that everybody wants to maintain the rural character of the community. I think this goes for both rural areas, rural area residents, as well as growth area residents. The question is, what is the best way to get there? You know, and the second question on your forestry, 60% of the land and land use is in forestry, and again, I have no problem with you running an agricultural enterprise. The question boils down to the division rights. And if all I'm going to do is subsidize...
Meaning the possible development
right.
of that forest land.
And if all I'm going to do is subsidize you until you're ready to cash out when the time gets good, when the time gets right at the right price, then I've lost and the county's lost. My goal is let's find a solution to this. Let's find the best way that's equitable to all the citizens of the community. I mean, no one's even looked at the basic question is, can we afford this program? No one's even discussed, is it effective? I mean, I'm sure that there are a lot of citizens out there in the growth areas who are having a hard time. We've seen our taxes, as everybody knows, double in the last couple of years. We've seen our water rates go up, as I've mentioned. So everybody is under a lot of financial pressure. We saw this with the budget this year. And I think we have to get to some solution. And that's why I go back and say what we need is a committee to study what is the most fair, equitable way to do this, taking all the parameters, all the data into consideration, and come out with a solution that we can come back to both rural residents and growth area residents.
And Carl, give you a moment here to sum up as well.
Well, what I can't understand is what exactly you want. You want to get rid of the land use taxation program,
$19 million. Didn't say that.
And you
didn't
want to
say
hold, that. You want to take a but, piece of it. You say we can't afford it. It's costing this county $19 million. I've heard you say that 4 or 5 times.
But it is.
Well, what do you want to do with that $19 million? Well, you want to fund an ACE program, well, to preserve the farms. But yet you say we need to pay $19 million and fund more water, sewer, and police and fire for the growth areas. What do you want to do? I've heard many arguments about how land use is costing this county $19 million. I haven't got one precise answer to what you want to do with that $19 million.
I told you what I would do is I agree with the Daily Progress.
Hold on, let me let you talk.
You guys have to do it quickly, though.
Yeah. I agree with the Daily Progress, and I would take any money that came in from the extra taxes paid because people wanted to reserve the development rights, and I would put it into the ACE program. I would not diminish the amount of money going for rural preservation, not $1. I would just move it from where it's not working to where it's working. Thank you.
So how would a government body make it more efficient than private citizens controlling their own destiny? You want to bring $19 million in, let the government divide it out, and all's going to be well in the world. It doesn't work that way.
Well, the question boils down to do growth area residents have the obligation to subsidize somebody's private investment? I think the answer to that is no.
And Carl, without a question, just a final, if you want to take a moment to give a final thought.
It's not their private investment. It's their home. It's their livelihood. It's their heritage. And without land use taxation, they would lose that.
Carl Tender is president of the Albemarle County Farm Bureau, and Tom Loach is a member of the Albemarle County Planning Commission. Thank you both so much for being here and for helping to educate us and give us your perspective on this issue, which I'm sure we'll hear more about.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.